Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Taylor, Minister of Trust for Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now, I'm down at the South Hall in Elgin, Texas. Today is June the 9th, 2024, also the third day of the fourth month, 2028. We will start our second service day with the song, and then we'll have a prayer and go into part three. Of Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're on page 59. And we're going to do a little review from our last study. This one paragraph there. This says, for the five smooth stones and the David's bag, with one of which he slew Goliath, typify the fivefold power, and the antithetical shepherd's bag, the Bible, but one part of which Yahweh shall today smite the beast and his image, the nations, represents the antithetical Goliath. And since we know that it is by his word in the form of a message that he shall smite the nation, then obviously the five smooth stones represent five messages, the last of which is to wound the beast, destroy his image, and free Yahweh's people from the fear of the heathen. Okay. Well, David did more than just wound Goliath. He killed him. So as the five stones and the shepherd's bag are figurative of the five messages. The messages, therefore, are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the Bible. They are in the Yahshua's parable of the vineyard. The first, at the early hour, the ceremonial system. The second, at the third hour, the crucifixion and resurrection of Yahshua. The third hour, at the sixth hour, the 2300 days prophecy of Daniel 8:14, 1833 by William Miller. The fourth, at the ninth hour, the judgment of the dead, 1844, Ellen G. White, and the cleansing of the sanctuary, Antiquity Day of the Atonement, the three angels' messages, actually the five angels' messages, and the two phases of the judgment. The judgment of the dead and the judgment of the living, and two different times. And the fifth and the last stone in David and typical David's bag is the fifth movement, or at the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6, whereas the sixth and ninth hour calls were found in Matthew 20, verse 5. Okay. Which is the third and the fourth movements that we're working together. And the fifth movement is entirely separated from the third and the fourth movement. Okay, so it says, the judgment of the dead started in 1844, the first phase of the judgment. Ended in 2002, and the judgment, and the fifth stone in the fifth movement, calling it the 11th hour, to start the judgment of the living, Revelation 8:1, and it's the opening of the seventh seal, the time of the loud cry. So the 12th parabolic hour then is for the loud cry. The 10th and the 11th parabolic hour is for the Adventist church and the Davidian, and the branch. So the 10th and the 11th hour covered the three feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, from 1850 to 1970. Oh, no, 2002. The time of the loud cry which shall ruin the bees, and with his own sword, the ten horns of Revelation 17, 16, cut off his head, and then with fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. And the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people for a complete study of the parable of Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16, and of the beast of Revelation 17. Read the Shed of Rod, Volume 2, at page 222 to 239, and page 155 and 156, for the proclaiming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4 5, a day of the slaughter, Isaiah 30:25. That would be the Ezekiel 9, and the day of the darkness, Joel 2:2. This last message is to be sounded at the 11th parabolic hour ending. So at the end of the 11th parabolic hour, at took place in 2002, started the Passover in front of Turkey, and ended at the Atonement of 2002. That was the closing of the 11th parabolic hour and the judgment of the dead. That's Brother Johnson at the helm. Brother Johnson is the ancient man before the house. Ezekiel 9:6, that was to be judged first. And so he was judged by the Atonement. That was his judgment of 2002. Just before the time in which John foresaw the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and he shall be able to stand. Revelation 6:15-17. None but the righteous, the future leaders of the purified church of the house of David, as David's reign typifies. Who raised up the righteous man from the earth, called him to his truth, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. I have raised up one from the north. and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name. And he shall come upon princes as upon a mortar, and as a pot of treaded clay, Isaiah 41:2-3 and 25. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, a leader and a commander unto the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Yeshua and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Yeshua while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near, Isaiah 55:46. Since for the Yahweh's honor and for the prosperity of his people, both Elijah's message and David's reign took the lives of many. Elijah's message, the lives of the apostate teachers in Israel, 1 Kings 18:40, and David's reign, the lives of the heathen who defied Yahweh and his army, 1 Chronicles 22:6-8. Therefore, the work of the Elijah's particularly typifies the day of the slaughter in the church. So it is a rod message from 1930 to 1970 that is the message that was used to slay those in the Adventist church of Ezekiel 9. And the reign of David, the destruction of the heathen and the possession of the earth, Zechariah 12:8-9, Jeremiah 30:3-9. Whereupon Yahshua, the son of David, shall visibly appear. Whereupon Yahshua, the son of David, shall visibly appear, take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as is typified by the peaceful reign of the David's son Solomon. And in the days of these antitypical events shall be completely realized the promise. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou, David, must go to be with thy father, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy son, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in the authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. While to the righteous he makes the kingdom his place and protection, and to the heathen Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, declares the Yahshua of the Yahweh, and the foreshadowing unto the posterity of Jacob their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations. This is the house of David, antitypical David at the helm. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone, Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9, as the 144,000, representing 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain, the Laodicean church, without the hand, without the human help, is to break the nation that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold of the great image, and all that burden themselves of it shall be cut in pieces, so all the people of the earth is together against it. So in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. But from the Mount Zion shall be delivered. That's Mount Zion, the 12th hour, that's who we are. And it shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess the possession, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of the diligence a flame, and the house of Esau for the stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Yahweh has spoken it, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. And that's David the rod. And they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fear of Ephraim, that's in the north, that's the Samaria, and the fears of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. So the tribe of Benjamin, the doorkeeper for Judah, is going to possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and Savior shall come upon the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th diabolic hour, for the judging of the Mount of Esau, which is the seventh day of the church, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahshua shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as Yahshua has said, and in the remnant, and Yahshua shall call. Obadiah 1:17-21, Joel 2:32. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, as the 60th verse 12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejection of the truth proclaimed by his church, that we can go to destruction, and echoing this prophetic pronouncement of the Abiram, Yahshua declared, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with his rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nation with a rod of iron, and the need and the work of overcoming being not his but his followers. The truth is obvious that Yeshua will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be a kingdom of peace. That a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that the Yahweh shall use it as his battle axe with which to smite the nation is evidenced by the following. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, and that's not here on this earth in the 12th symbolic hour. That's why probation is still open if this is set up this earth. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yeshua as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:6-9. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Under it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time and in that day, for the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for to recover the remnant of his people, Isaiah 11:10-11. And in that day, says the Yahshua, through his breath, Papa Hosea, and the reiteration of his covenant of peace, will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. There it is right there. All this is set up right here in the 12th parabolic hour. Our probation is still open, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safe. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea chapters 1 and 2, read our track number 4 of the latest news from others. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the typical Ark, the kingdom, nothing shall hurt or destroy. For the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. Thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again. For the recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of the Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in the pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our bodies, Romans 8:19-23, and he will destroy this mountain, this kingdom of peace, says Isaiah, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death and victory, and thy sure will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for thy sure has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, in the day, which the Yahshua wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, lo, this is our Savior. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua, our Redeemer. We have waited for him, and will be glad and rejoice in his salvation through his blood. Of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10:19-20. For in this mountain, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, house of David, this mountain of David, shall the hand of Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as Saul is trodden down for the downhill, Isaiah 25:7-10, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. Bless the Yahweh, O my soul, exalt David, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Yahweh, O my soul. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul, exalt the David, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul, and forgot not all his benefits, who forgetteth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from the destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with a good thing, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103:1-5. Okay. For further study of the subject of the continuation of life, see our chart number 5, final warning, pages 63-65. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and it shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Yahweh, their Yahweh, and will hear them, and they of the Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through the wine, yea, the children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Yahshua. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and give them out of the Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of the Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with the affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the river shall dry up, and the cloud of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Yahshua, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Yahshua. Zechariah 10:6-12. Unfailing assurance that ours is a supreme privilege to let the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, reign over us. That's in Luke 19:12-14. For centuries, Yahshua's followers have prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now that the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled, and let us live out our prayers, lest any of us be found among the unfaithful class with whom Yahshua concludes the following parable. He said, "Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the servant came, saying, "Master, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds, and he said likewise unto him, "Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, "Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." And he saith unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?" And he said unto them that stood by, "Take from him the pound and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And he said unto him, "Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Luke 19:12-27. For the certain nobleman in this parable is Yahshua himself, who soon after his resurrection departed into the heaven of heavens, the far country, to be crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. His 10 servants who are the occupiers till his coming represents manifestly the ministry at the closing of the gospel dispensation. And his citizens accordingly represents the laity, the subjects of his kingdom. Together then, his servants and his citizens make up his entire kingdom, church. As he sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us," the only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Yahshua will inform his citizens that he has taken the reins in his own hand to set up his kingdom, and that they soon upon hearing the announcement shall refuse to submit themselves to the one through whom he is to rule. Observe that in the message which they sent after him, his servants did not say, "We will not have you to reign over us," but rather, "We will not have this man to reign over us." What they objected to was Yahshua reigning over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated and prior unto his return to reckon with his servants, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say unto him, by their attitude and stand toward his message, "We will not have this man to reign over us," although this man, as we now see, is the antipodal David, the simple man, the visible king. Thus, when Yahshua returns and reckons with his servants, he rewards the faithful ones in the proportion as they have increased their principle with which they started, but condemns those who have had no burden to work for the soul and to advance his kingdom, and who have been content to let him do without their services. For this unfaithfulness, he takes from them the power, light of the truth, with which he had entrusted them, showing thereby that all are to be held responsible for every ray of light, for every lost moment, for every neglected opportunity. And those who will not have him thus reign over them shall, at his return, be slain before him, as were those who rebelled against Yahweh's appointment or Yahweh's government in the olden times. For the Jews at the Yahshua's first advent, misunderstanding of his mission because they were blind as to what their message, the ceremonial service taught, and as to what the prophets wrote concerning him, misconstrued his doctrine of the kingdom. Dearly coveting the fruition of the long-held hope of the kingdom, they were upset by the Yahshua's strange teaching and were ready to stone him to death rather than to have their errors exposed before the multitude whom they kept in the darkness. So it is with the church today. She is as blind to the message of the hour and to the truth of the Jewish kingdom, as were the Jews in their day, and as a message knocked at her door with the warning, her answer is, "Go thy way. I am rich and increase with the goods and have need of nothing, for she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." For the church of Yahshua's day was determined to have the kingdom set up then, for not all was yet ready for it. For the church of the day is determined not to have it now, when the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7. When the time is fully come, the Jews wanted back the kingdom which they had lost, a kingdom of sin and sinners. They were eager to be freed from the Roman bondage only, instead of from sin and sinners. Also, consequently, when Yahshua said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36, they would not have it so. Whereas the church today, blindly ignoring the scriptures, which plainly declare that Yahweh is now to set up his spotless kingdom and is to free his people, and not from the Babylonish bondage only, but from sin and sinners also, is determined to put it out. I'll put it off until after the millennium, since such is the ironic perversity of the nature, of the natural heart, even in the very face of the fact that in every way she is seen on the very verge of eternity in her purified state, and one of his grandest prophecies, Isaiah, projects in the lineaments unmistakable, the great antitypical counterpart of the Exodus movement. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16, as the Passover and the slaughter of the firstborn, first fruits, who had not the blood on the doorpost, released Yahweh's ancient people from the bondage of the Egypt. So shall the antitypical Passover, Ezekiel 9:4. Isaiah 66:16, free the first fruits, the 144,000, his firstborn now, from the bondage of sin and sinners today. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yeshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yeshua he will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assembly, a cloud and smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. For a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement in type and antitype, read the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 64-111. In the light of the present truth concerning the kingdom, the foreign carcasses, along with the numerous other relevant prophecies, the self is interpreted. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall be, shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, sit down on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the man wrought bands of thy neck, O captive darling of Zion. For thus saith Yahshua, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahshua, that my people went down a fourth time into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without power. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahshua, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak, behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Yahweh reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of the Jerusalem. For Yahshua hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. Yahshua hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahweh. Depart ye, go ye out from offense, touch no unclean thing, and go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Yahweh. For ye shall not go out without haste, nor go by the flight. For the Yahshua will go before you, and the Yahweh of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations, for the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah 52:1-15. Now, seeing ourselves on the brink of the eternity, we are impelled to join with the elder James White in his enraptured exclamation, O glory, hallelujah, my poor heart is set on fire for the kingdom, while I dwell on this sweet prospect before the true believer. If we hold fast but a few days more, the dark shades of the night will vanish. Before the glory of the preparatory scenes of the coming of the Son of Man. The Word of the Little Flock, page 8. For only those who have a part in this antipical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of the Moses and the Lamb, and to share in the promises of the covenant and the Antitype. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, that saith the Yahshua, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith the Yahshua, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. I will be their Savior, and they shall be my people. Let's read that again. For I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Savior and King, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34. For the old covenant or agreement between the Yahweh and his people was based upon the promises of both parties to witness, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahshua, thy Savior, for the observing and for the doing all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Yahshua, thy Savior, will sit thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahshua, thy Savior. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. For the Yahshua shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. For Yahshua shall command his blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Yahshua thy Savior giveth thee. For the Yahweh thy Elohim, or the Yahweh thy Yahweh giveth thee. Let's do that again. And in all that thou sittest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Yahweh thy Yahweh giveth thee. The Yahweh shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Yahweh thy Yahweh, and walk in his ways. And all the people answered together and said, All that Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh, Deuteronomy 28:1-9, Exodus 19:8. For this first covenant reaches from the time it was ordained to the imminent and final ingathering of the 12 tribes as a kingdom. And yet, though never invalidated by the Yahweh, its validity has been persistently negated by the New Testament Church, and its sanctity violated by both the Old and the New Testament churches until this very day. So as the people failing their promise have broken Yahweh's commandments, they thereby also have broken the covenant that Yahweh made with their father. But in the new covenant, which is, Yahweh is now about to fulfill the commandments of Yahweh, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 7, unlike in the old, will not be written on the tables of stone, Exodus 31, 18. But in the fleshy tables of the heart, and at that time all shall know the Yeshua, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, Jeremiah 31:34, exhibiting a church without the terrors, this compact which is about to take place in the second covenant, and his law being written on the heart will be perfectly kept then, and not before, will the blessings of which his ancient people fail to receive be fully realized. For is Jeremiah also bearing witness that this promised covenant has not yet been fulfilled, but that it is to be honored now and the gathering times declared. Thus speaketh Yahweh of the Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 and 3. For these verses show vividly that Yahweh is to validate the second covenant when he brings his people again from their captivity, while subsequent verses fix the time of this liberation of the ingathering. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yeshua of the host, this is the Son talking, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Yahweh their Yahweh, and David their Yahshua their Savior and Redeemer, and David their King, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30, verse 8 and 9. For this prophecy, we observe, did not meet its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from their captivity in the ancient Babylon, because at that time Yahweh did not raise up David their king. They did not, in fact, have any king at all of their own, but were under the Medo-Persia rule, for the prophecy therefore can be applied to no other time than today, when both Israel and Judah shall be joined into the one great kingdom established in the everlasting righteousness. Then they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Yeshua. Consequently, the fact that there has never been a time from the day that this scripture was written even unto the present day, that every one of Yahweh's people as a church or a nation has known the Yeshua and kept, or Yahweh and kept his commandments again, proves that the fulfillment of the second covenant of which the Exodus movement was a type is yet in the future.
This brings into our fifth hour contact, just at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and well, we're going to close now with a song.